Hi, and welcome to the Just Riding Along show.
All right, we're recording.
Hello and welcome to 190, or Jesus, I don't even know what to do with myself. Hello and welcome to episode 195. Tonight's show is brought to you by the Colorado Duo. Kenny is out on other adventures.
Kenny's just sick. His adventure is laying in bed. What?
That was a joke that a popular podcast makes.
Oh, I don't listen to...
I know you don't, but other people do, and they might get it.
All right. Well, what have you been doing this week, Matt?
I installed the twist lockout on my Canyon. I installed the Zeb on my Stump Jumper. I worked on a Santa Cruz Chameleon that will be for sale soon. Me and a coworker, he had a frame. I had a fork and a bunch of parts. We're gearing up to build a complete bike to sell because he's had his frame for sale for like 3 months and no one wants to buy a frame only. Let's see. Have we recorded since I worked on the car?
I don't remember. I think that maybe you had, but you hadn't had it like dialed, like the tires and the alignment maybe. I don't remember.
I know that. I installed shocks, preloaded struts, whatever you want to call it. So shock spring assembly with pads and rotors and did all that on the Subaru in my driveway. And then this week I went to Colorado Springs because the soonest like alignment appointment was like the end of June. We're recording this on May 30th, but in Colorado Springs I could get it done the next day. So I drove to Colorado Springs, hung out with Troy, watched some of the Giro. I saw Boo.
Stop.
Let's see. We should just cut all that out. Troy's going to get in trouble. I had the alignment really close on the car just from a little paint marking and eyeballing. Really close is in 0.2 degrees.
Yeah, the dude at the alignment shop's like, why'd you bring this in?
Yeah, I was like, I need an alignment. And they're like, okay. And yeah, and I got 4 new tires and I got all the certificates and just went for it. And now the Subaru's probably good to go for like another 40,000 miles at least. I mean, it's got tires, brakes, need to do an oil change soon-ish, and yeah, it's good to go.
All right.
And then I also worked on Tom's TW200 some today. Turns out changing the headset in a motorcycle is very much like changing the headset in a bicycle. But if you're out there and you're listening, you need to know that a Park Tool headset press will not work on a Yamaha TW200.
So what did you do?
Well, the angle of the handles is wrong, so it won't clear the tank, and if you flip it upside down, it doesn't clear the frame. Okay. So I used Nipex to turn the shaft instead of turning the handle.
Well, that works.
Yeah, you know, for something I've never done before, it went really smooth, and that's something that I'm really digging into. Here is, I did all that work on the Subaru. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'd done some of it when I put the Land Rover together, but I'd never worked on a Subaru like that. And I just watched a couple YouTube videos and did it. And I worked on the Yamaha today, and I'd never done that before. But I looked at a forum post, and literally I just like breezed through the post, and I was like, well, that makes sense. That's really like... nothing weird. And just to stick in the mechanical nerdery, I know that this is a mountain bike podcast, but it is really interesting and just cool to see that the speedometer is 100% mechanical. And I'm not going to get any of these terms right, but there's a little gear inside the front drum brake. And then there's another like little worm gear thing, I guess. I don't know. It's really neat looking. I should have taken a picture while I had it apart, but I don't know. I'm really enjoying digging into more and more stuff lately in terms of mechanically just figuring it out. My goal is to be able to, I don't want to say proficiently, but I would like to be able to build wheels by the end of the year. And I want to become a little more proficient at suspension service because it's something that I don't really do. But
I mean, you can do like a fork lower and a shock air can. Maybe not as fast as someone who does it all the time, but you could do it.
Oh, I can do an air can like all day. Air can's not really up.
Easy.
I'm going to say the most controversial thing ever right now, which is an air can service is not a service. It's easier than changing a 12-inch kid's tire on a stroller on those plastic wheels. It's just, it is. So, and if you're out there and you're like, wow, Matt's really pompous because he's done it a bunch of times for the last, gosh, I don't know, 17 years, and he thinks it's easy. It just is. It's.
Yeah. I mean, but once you dig in deeper to a shock or a fork, like when you get in the damper, then things get a little bit more complicated. You have to have some tooling for clamping stuff in a vise without damaging it and whatever. But yeah, and like special crow's feet to get the torque right on parts when you put them back together. That stuff gets complicated. But yeah, a shock air can service is probably the easiest suspension service you can do.
Yeah, I mean, it requires, honestly, you could do it with a strap wrench. You don't need any other special tools. And if you're at home, you're like, you need a vise. No, you could leave the upper eyelet still attached to the bike and crack it loose and then just do it on your workbench.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can do that.
It's very straightforward. And I'm going to throw out my hot tip for shock overhauls. The hardest part is putting the cam back on. And the easiest way to solve that is you turn the rebound to full slow. You compress the bottom eyelet towards the top eyelet, and then you ram the can on, and it works way easier.
Yeah.
And that's all I got. Long way of saying I'm really enjoying working on stuff a lot more.
You got your bikes ready to ride. You're going to have some riding stories next week.
Absolutely not. Yeah. I won't be here next week.
You're not going to take a bike to Memphis?
No. What am I going to do? Park at the Wolf River Trails and get my car broken into?
Go ride Stanky Creek, something like that.
Get my checkbook stolen out of my car and it cashed at a casino.
I mean, you just don't leave that shit in your car. You just empty your whole car out, leave it unlocked. I learned that in New York the one time that I went when that bad thing happened.
Yeah,
you don't lock your doors. You take everything out. You open every console and glove compartment and everything. You leave it unlocked and just don't leave anything in it. And that way no one will break your window looking for anything.
Yeah, my point being, though, it's just so much extra work. And remember, too, my parents' house is almost 45 minutes from Stanky Creek.
Yeah, you can go ride at Shelby Forest.
There's not really trails there.
Yeah, it's fun to ride around, though. You can explore some places where you can get ticks and have a bunch of vines rip your derailleur off.
Get poison ivy.
Get poison ivy and ticks and lose a derailleur. It's a good time.
I'm going to pass.
All right. Is it my turn then?
Sure.
All right.
Not Kenny's turn.
Are we going to shit talk on Kenny since he's not here?
Only if you insert some of that, like, what is it called? Kentucky Ballistics, where he's using monkey noises to make fun of Brandon Herrera.
That was dolphin noises, but yeah.
Oh, that makes way more sense.
Yeah. I don't know why that makes more sense, but...
Because I was like, man, that's a shitty monkey. No, it's a dolphin. That, yeah. Wow. Can you edit that to make me sound stupider?
Maybe.
All right, cool.
Yeah, so for anyone out there, even if you are not, quote-unquote, a gun person or... I mean, if you just want entertaining YouTube that also involves firearms, the Kentucky Ballistics YouTube channel is fucking hilarious. And it just is. Like, it's funny. The guy shoots guns during the course of lots of really off-the-wall shit. So definitely go and watch it. It's really funny. So... Other than that, the past week I've been working in my garden, got all of my stuff planted. I have worked at the bike shop with Matt a couple days. So what else have I done? Mm-hmm. I've been on lots of big hikes. Like I'm really hoping that I will be able to archery hunt in September. So I've just been getting out and just hiking like long ways. And plus... I've been having like a pretty bad hand and arm pain flare up. My left hand too at night, like I just wake up with like excruciating pains. And the best thing that I can do when that happens is nothing. And so to keep myself doing nothing, I go out and just hike in the woods all day, like just off the trail. Just go explore some spots, look for new stuff, whatever. And that's kind of what I've been doing, is gardening and trying to avoid using my hands. when I don't have to. And I've kind of been like, I mean, I'm hoping that, you know, after I have hand surgery next month, that I will be able to, it's June 13th. And I'm hoping that once I'm all healed up from that, that I'll be able to ride a bike, and I'll probably start shopping bikes if that's the case. I don't know. I don't know how my left hand is going to do. I don't know how my sciatic nerve is going to do. That was like a problem that happened before the hand arm numbness got really bad. So I don't know if that's going to.
I think you need to ride some demo bikes.
Yeah. Yeah, I should definitely ride some demo bikes.
Just go out and thrash on like a tall boy or something and then see how you feel. And if you don't feel good, don't buy a bike. And if you do feel good, well, probably don't buy a tall boy.
Yeah. And the thing is, like the sciatic nerve thing, like it bothers me the least when I ride the single speed. And I know that sounds counterintuitive, but I think it's because I stand up so much and I just change positions really often. And I think I use my core a little bit more. And yeah, I mean, I've done like physical therapy for it before that involved a lot of core strength. It does not matter how strong my core is, and the deep core that people talk about that you have to strengthen to help back problems and all that. Like, it does not matter how strong that part of my body is. And the sciatic nerve thing is, you know, when it's on, it's on. It doesn't matter what condition the rest of my body is in. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm going to start back on the single speed and I guess the e-bike a little bit.
All right, then.
Whenever that happens. But I have been shopping. Like, I've been trying to get ideas for what I want to, how I want to build a bike in the future. I got to test ride at the shop. We had a customer that had like the full on Epic S-Works with transmission and flight attendant. God, the flight attendant is so fucking nice. That was really, really fucking cool.
Yeah, I want it real bad. Flight attendant. I have a thing to tell people about flight attendant that is very important. So big thanks to Troy. Troy does a lot. He's busy. He answers when he can, when I call. And I don't mean that to sound weird, but like, if he's not in a meeting, not eating dinner with his wife, he's like, yo, and I called him because I had a customer that was having some weird issue. And the issue came down to, and if this is in the literature, I'm dumb. I haven't read it. So, but understand I was the third person at the shop to touch the spike. So maybe no one reads the literature. But if you have a flight attendant bike, the fork is the brain of the system.
It's so, the boss.
It's the main unit. So you pair everything to the fork. With the exception of the power meter, which you have to manually add to the system because it doesn't have an access button. So you put the fork into pairing mode and you can do anything at any time. However, you need to pair the right-hand pod controller before you pair the left-hand pod controller.
So like your shifter in a traditional setup, unless for some reason you're running your, I don't know.
Yeah, but you need to pair the one on the right that would traditionally be a shifting controller before you pair the one on the left that can function as your reverb and flight attendant override button.
Got it.
And if you don't do that, everything works. Works just fine, except when you go into the Axis app, you cannot assign different
functions
to the controller.
The buttons on the controller.
Yeah, okay. So, and only on the right-hand controller. So, yeah, just keep that in mind. It had all of us at the shop stumped. Quick call to Troy, and he explained it. I guess the best way to put it is, he told me my problem, and then he's like, I don't know why, but that's how you got to do it. I was like, okay, boss. So, just the way that I want to drive it home to the millions of those listening is, if you think about it, the flight attendant controller or the flight attendant unit is on the damper side. So it's on the right side of the fork. So the best practice for all flight attendant will be put the fork into pairing mode, reach up and tap the access button on the right hand control unit. And then, cause that's the closest one, and then do left hand control unit and then do reverb or then do shock, then do reverb, then do rear derailleur. So work away from the flight attendant damper and you'll have no issues.
Sounds good. I want the flight attendant fork for my single speed.
They have released that as an option. So
yeah, like that's first thing I want to do when I know I can like ride a little bit is that fork for the single speed. But all right, well, do we want to talk about some new shit? Oh, and today we got our meat birds, our meat chickens. They're just,
oh my God, that fork costs $1,450.
I mean, not with a shop deal.
I mean, the deal still comes from the $1,450.
That's all right. I can just take the damper out of the fork I have. Maybe.
Is that old?
I barely rode that thing.
Oh, thing's old. It's for poor people.
It's not.
It's not even the right color blue.
I thought the one on the single speed was black.
I know, but there's a new blue now.
Well, whatever. I don't want a blue fork on that bike anyway, because it's got red on it. And yeah, like, I don't know. That's not my jam. Anyway, so.
So you want that one? You want the black one?
Yeah, I want the black one. All black everything. But yeah, we got the meat chicks today, and they're just like little fluffy yellow chicken nuggets. They're adorable. And this evening when I went out to check on them, one of them had picked up a leaf. Like they're in like the regular chicken yard, but they've got their own little closed off area that's like free of draft and has their little heaters and food and everything. And one of them had a leaf. He'd found a leaf in there and was running around, and the other chicks were chasing him. And we call it chicken football because they just chase it. It's adorable. So anyone who's had chickens before knows what happens when one chicken gets a thing that all the other ones want, even if it's something dumb like a leaf. But yeah, this little chick with a big leaf in its mouth running around, that was adorable. So new shit.
Yeah, I got one.
All right.
So new Diverge is being launched at Unbound.
All right.
Mum's the word so far, and this isn't me. I work for a specialized dealer. I know things I'm not saying. I didn't know shit until this dropped on the old interwebs, but yeah.
Wait, didn't they make the Diverge like real fucky last time it was released? Like the seat post was weird?
No, that's the Diverge STR.
Oh, okay. That's what I was thinking about.
That's the full suspension Diverge. But this one, I mean, it looks fine. I'm really curious to see what tire clearance is going to be. That's really all I got for it.
All right.
Also, I didn't even leave it open, but I just think it's really funny. I have a little bit of a prediction here, which is we're going to see more of this moving forward, in my opinion. Which is companies not using, like, if you think about Sea Otter, but let me start over. I think moving forward, we're going to start seeing more of this type of stuff in the industry, because if you think of Sea Otter, everything was released at once. There was new mountain bikes, there was new tires, there was new everything for bicycles released all at once. And with something like Unbound, Specialized has a bike, IRC has 7 tires. I didn't know they still made
tires. Yeah, I didn't know that IRC was still a thing.
I'm not trying to be a smartass. I'm just being like, I didn't know that was still a thing. But where I'm going is it does give a certain, like, Specialized sales to everyone. You know, they make a bike for every rider, from 16-inch kids bikes through
$15,000
road trial bikes,
mountain bikes,
and everything in between, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, this is a launch time for the gravel crew. And I just think that that's really interesting, because this Diverge launch isn't getting lost in the shuffle of, you know, so-and-so launched a new mountain bike and so-and-so launched, you know, Fox rolled out 19 different forks and shocks there. Like
new wheels, new tires.
Yeah. So
I think that makes sense, because if you're just really into gravel racing, and that means that you are the target market for gravel racing products, I think it makes a lot of sense to release your new products when people in your target market are paying the most attention, which would be something like Unbound.
Yeah, so
it saves you money on a booth at Sea Otter. I mean, I'm sure Specialized still has a booth.
They were already there,
yeah.
But they were able to focus on, for argument's sake, the Gen 4 Levo. I don't know if it was out yet. I can't remember.
No,
but,
I don't think so.
You know, whatever they wanted to talk about, like, they don't have to talk about 7 new products at once, which I think is really cool. So,
yep. It's smart from a marketing standpoint, I think.
Yeah, and then let's see.
I mean, like, now new downhill bikes are being released when World Cup downhills are you know, popping off. So,
yep, like Scott has a new bike that they're teasing right now. But yeah,
all right. I got one that I thought was the most interesting. Max's High Roller 3, and it is surprisingly enough. I mean, it's a tire. It's a big knobby tire.
It's black. The knobs are very knobby.
Yeah, like it doesn't really look like anything special.
How girthy does it get?
Oh, I know there was 2.4 width only, but it only comes in downhill, double down, or EXO plus casings. So this is not a standard EXO tire.
Wow, the DH one weighed 1,400 grams and 29 DH. That is many grams.
Downhill tires are, there was a specialized demo at the shop, and the rep had some Butcher T9 compound gravity casing tires. These things, like, they don't fold, okay? Like, I mean, sure, you could fold them, but the things stand up and, like, you can prop them up against the wall like a fucking wire bead tire. I put them on my e-bike, and
I can tell you, I rode that thing around the neighborhood some this week. Those bitches be gripping. They be throwing gravel.
Yeah, like, that T9 compound is, like, I don't know, it's like fucking flypaper. It just, like, everything, it sticks to everything, and everything sticks to it. I'm not sure, like, if I did ride it a bunch, I don't know how long it would last. Like the actual knobs, I think the casing would handle fucking everything I could possibly do to it. I didn't put that cush core back in my tire for sure. But yeah, like it's fine for an e-bike. I've got a motor. It doesn't matter. And I'm not Kenny trying to make a 30-pound e-bike. So that's all the shit talking I'm going to do on Kenny. Like, I mean, he'd laugh at that if I said it if he was here. He'd give his little Kenny chuckle, but yeah.
Let's see.
We got the Industry 9 Solix Trail S aluminum wheel set. So it has J-Bend spokes. So it's like a plain ass wheel. It's just your plain trail wheel set with a nice hub. We don't have to listen to Kenny bitch about the bearings in the hub. Yeah, that's kind of it. It's just a good trail wheel. It's a 1600, and this is something that kind of made me, think about the good-ish old days. So this Trail S wheel set, it's a $950 wheel set. It's aluminum. Weighs 1,680 grams. And I remember, I don't know, probably 10 years ago, like when I first moved to Colorado, if I wanted a trail wheel set in 29, I'd get carbon, and it would be between 1,600 and 1,700 grams, and it would be, I don't know, $2,000 or something for like the I-9 trail carbon. It was so long ago, I don't remember, but I mean, they're expensive. You know, probably double that price and around the same weight. So now we have, you know, just like a kind of run-of-the-mill aluminum, a nice aluminum wheel set with plain-ass J-Bend spokes, and it's half the price and the same weight. So I think that's cool. Like, I'm glad that lightweight stuff is more affordable now. I mean, now people don't think that's lightweight, but I mean, I think a sub 1700 gram trail wheel set is pretty fucking light, especially in aluminum.
I will say, I think those rims are a little soft.
Yeah, they're alloy. They're just going to bend.
Or crack at the eyelet.
They could do that too. Have you seen some?
I've seen things.
I mean, you can talk about it if you've seen it.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
All right.
Seen it 3 times already.
Yeah.
Like, since I started at the new shop in October. 3? Maybe it was 2 eyelets and 1 just absolutely munted.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why I don't really like aluminum wheels, because they get bent. They get egg-shaped. They're just not as nice as carbon. And I can see their place for someone who doesn't want to spend a ton of money, but I don't know, like, I like carbon because it's either working or it's broken. You know, there's no, like, oh, my wheel's kind of wonky and it's going to break spokes, you know, 2 or 3 times a year because it's a little bit egg-shaped and whatever. Like, you get a carbon wheel, like, it's going to be fucking perfect until it's just not. And yeah, then it's, like, just broken. you know, there's no like in the middle, like I got this dent and I might be able to straighten it out with some pliers. And now I got like a weird spot in my rim that doesn't always want to seal and the tire might blow off on it and whatever. It's like, no, you get a carbon wheel, like it's all the way perfect or it's not. It's all the way not perfect. There's no in the middle. And I like that about any equipment.
All right. Well,
yeah. Olin's updated some of their downhill and enduro forks and shocks. We don't have to go into that. I mean, look, none of us ride downhill. None of us ride enduro. So I don't know. Like, we're not experts on that subject. I don't know. Kenny probably knows a little more about Olin's just from having more of it around his shop. But that's just your news, is Olin's updated their stuff. And if you're into Olin's, check it out.
There you go.
That's kind of all I got.
Going back to wheels, I don't think I told you this. I ordered a wheel set this week.
Oh, what'd you get?
Reval Traverse SL2s with 350 hubs.
You going to put those on your Stumpy?
I'm going to replace my birds with them.
What are you going to do with your birds?
Hopefully put them in the box the Specialized wheels came in and ship them to a listener.
Damn, I want those birds. That's like one of the wheel sets. I was trying to kind of decide, like, do I want an I-9 wheel set or do I want a bird wheel set?
All right, so Andrea, instead of my birds for sale, Andrea's whatever Knox rims that are like 27-ish internal.
I think those were Farlows, because the other one sold with the lighter one sold with my Mayhem.
No, that bike has 650 wheels on it right now.
My what?
Your rocker.
Yeah, we could put the bird wheels on that. Maybe Troy would be interested in selling some 3.0 Moto wheels. This is the constant shuffle at our house. Matt's putting his face inside of his hood right now. He's face palming so hard.
Okay. I'll make you a deal off air.
All right.
Any questions?
Well, we had some commentary from Tom. We had talked about grizzly bears in Colorado. And he let us know that the last grizzly in Colorado was Old Mose. She was killed right here in Fremont County in 1904. And he sent me a link to an article about Old Mose. And then he also said, Presta valve stems. We'd been talking about what have we done bad to Presta valves in the past? And it was very little. And Tom, who has ridden bikes a lot, says, Presta valve stems. I did once break one. It was one of those that Specialized used to ship with tubeless ready bikes, black. It happened the day after Kevin Thomas told me to watch out for them because they were brittle.
I broke a valve stem once too. I don't think I mentioned it at that time.
Like the whole, not the little like nub opens and closes the Presta valve.
I smoked the entire valve stem off of my wheel riding it solo.
And I did it once riding in Memphis. We had an old railroad grade and they've since turned it into a bike, like a greenway, but I was riding on part that had not been converted yet into a greenway. So it was just kind of like loose railroad rocks. And one of those rocks just popped right up and knocked my valve off. Like, yeah, just broke the whole valve off of the wheel. But
top fell off.
The top fell off. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, aluminum tubeless valves are really nice and light compared to steel ones, but they can break.
Brass.
They don't make them out of steel. They make them out of brass.
I think the stands ones are brass.
Yeah, whatever. Aluminum is like the lightest, but also the most fragile material to make those out of. Should make some carbon ones. Matt's Googling real quick. No, you're just finding tubeless valves for carbon wheels, not carbon tubeless valves.
Tom gave me some titanium ones forever ago. I still have them.
Damn, I'm going to use those. What? I mean, if you haven't used them in forever, then you might as well put them
together. They're in my wheels.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There's one in the front of the bird wheels, and the rear one is a cush core.
All right. I didn't realize you were using titanium valves.
Oh, I should heat them and make them change color.
Sure.
I would melt the valve seat off. Never mind.
Yeah, you'd have to take that off. We don't really have a lot in listener questions. There was a little confusion in patron Slack. Apparently, some people were trying to go to justridingalongshow.com/podcasts, and they were confused about where is the web form that you're talking about. You just have to go to the homepage. Just go to the homepage if you go to justridingalongshow.com, or if you type in jrashow.com, that will forward you to justwritingalongshow.com. And it's just at the bottom of the homepage, there is a contact form. And if you want to contact us with questions or comments or your favorite bike or anything like that that you just want us to read on air, you have a manifesto, as long as it's only like a paragraph or two long, go ahead and email it to us. We may or may not read it on air, depending on, you know, if you're like incriminating yourself or something.
Yeah.
But going back to Patron Slack, the only question that we have that is, it's not even that recent. This is from May 7th. Why is cheese at its most flavorful in cube form?
Oh, I know. Because the food, when in cube, like, it's all about the surface area. And when you put it in your mouth, it feels odd. So it heightens up your senses because you shouldn't put pointy things in your mouth. Like, think caveman. If it had a point, it was probably a rock, right? So,
or a bone or something.
Yeah, your lizard brain is like, uh-oh. But then your, like, modern mouth is like, nom, nom, cheese. And every bite you take, it, like, bursts open. So it's like a fruit gusher, but instead of, like...
cheese gusher?
But instead... Well, no, like, I'm thinking of gushers. But instead of the liquid flowing out that's a different flavor and it's just corn syrup and gross, it's just more cheese. It's like, yo, dog, I heard you like cheese. So when you bite this cheese, you got more cheese with your cheese.
Should make like a nacho cheese with a cheddar outside cheese gusher.
I was thinking more...
Or like a little barbecue sauce or something.
No, no. Hear me out. Hear. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We might have to edit this out of the show. So you know how you can get like pickle spears that have been cored and there's like jalapeno or something jammed in there?
Yeah.
We need to take a cheese stick and we core it. Then you put a little plug in each end and you fill it up with marinara and then you make it into a cheese stick.
Oh, like a mozzarella stick.
Yeah, like a mozzarella stick.
Yeah.
So, oh God, this is getting better by the minute. And you have that first, right? And then you wrap it in bread, and then you wrap it in more cheese. So it's like stuffed crust pizza cheese stick.
No, like you'd have the cheese stick with a marinara core. And then you would fry it, and then wrap...
A thin layer of pastry dough.
And what else did you say?
And then more cheese.
No, I think you should put that cheese between
the crunchy
and cheese the bread. Stick and the the outside.
Yeah, because
bread.
Then it's like still handheld.
Yeah.
Ah, fuck it, let's do it.
All right. I think those are all of the that's all we have for questions that I can find. I know a lot of people have sent me messages on Instagram and I have not read them yet. I don't know if any of the listener questions or if it's just people sending me funny bike-related-ish stuff, but I'm sorry I haven't been keeping up with that because I've been trying to just kind of take care of myself and stay sane mentally and physically. So, yeah, I know I've been a little distant in the Instagram lately for a hot minute. But do we want to read our patrons and wrap it up? Short show tonight. All right. So if you join our Patreon at $10 a month or more, we will read whatever the fuck you put in here as your patron name. So at $10 a month, we've got Zozo, Tom P. Ornstar, Tom's P. Timothy, Ty, Tennessee Zach, Taylor Zwift, Taper Boar Pro, Skunk in Your Trap, Samuel, Ryan, Rock Bitch, Jake, Ride Time Extended,
Pork Chop Sandwiches,
Noah, My Pal Dal, MTB Shenanigans,
Mike Jones,
Ligma Beva, Leland, Josh, Jim the Fucked Up Trike Guy, JC, Jared, Jake D, Holden, Two Dicks, Green Giant, Gordon, Fuck Bike Rumors, Shitty Website, Frank the Tank, Eric, Dwayne, Elizondo, Mountain Dew, Herbert, Comancho, Chunk Norris, Captain Fickle, Cam Irish One, Bill, Bearded Bag O'Dix, Barrel of Dix, Angry JRA Forever, AJ, Aaron, _, at $11.11 per month, we've got Single Speed Racing, where average becomes a lifestyle choice. Patamelon Disco at $14 Australian, Dean at $16.50 Australian, and at $20 a month, we've got Scott, Poop Wrench, Joe, I Want a Mustache Ride from Burt Reynolds, Brian, at $26.06 per month, JRA Slack turned me into a squalet, and I must scream. Harley at 30, Troy at 31, and Six Pack Outdoors, we kudos our own rides at 50. Thank you to all of our patrons. There was some squalid discussion on patron Slack, so that was fun. I don't have a squirrel hide that is quite, the right quality for a full-on squalet, but I could probably make like a coin purse out of a piece of squirrel hide if I really wanted to. Or marmot. I could make a marmot purse. Marmot fanny pack.
Okay, I'd ride that. Yeah,
I think I should do that. Should definitely do that. All right. Well, thank you all for joining us. Hopefully we have Kenny back next week. Matt, are you going to record from your parents' house?
No.
All right. So maybe we'll have the week off next week, but we'll figure it out later. All right, everyone. Thank you all for listening and good night.
Thanks for tuning in to the Just Riding Along show.
There's some shit coming out of your brake pads.